In Scottsbluff, Nebraska, a few years ago, I held a meeting, and I preached on the wrongs of instrumental music. And about 11 o'clock at the motel, I got a phone call. And it was Dwayne Dunning, who was a little teacher in a small college for the Christian church up in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. And he said, I'd like to debate you tomorrow on the subject of instrumental music. Would you want to do that? I said, yes, sir, I'd be glad to. He said, well, now I want to warn you, I'm going to bring about 6 carloads of preachers. I said, that'll be fine, bring them on. He had had 3 of his boys there that night, and they asked me if it was all right to record that lesson, and I told them, well, sure. So I told Mr. Dunning on the phone, I said, I'll tell you what you do. Since you've heard that lesson, you take it and you answer it, and then I'll answer you. Well, he said, they said it was too bad for you to hear, so they wouldn't let me listen to it, he said. So I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just present it again, and you can answer it if you want to, and tell us what it ought to be. So when he got there the next day, several of the brethren had told me, said, now, Brother Colley, he's a Greek scholar. He's a Greek scholar. I heard that at least 14 times. He's a Greek scholar. So when Mr. Dunning got there, he had 3 older ladies with him, no preachers at all. And when he began to speak, he didn't have anything to offer, actually. I couldn't ever figure out what he was trying to say because it was so off base completely. But when I got up to speak, I said, Mr. Dunning, are you a Greek scholar? He said, yes, sir. I said, you mean you can read the Greek? He said, well, no, I can't read the Greek. I said, can you write the Greek? He said, well, no, I can't write the Greek. I said, then can you speak the Greek? He said, no, I can't speak the Greek. I said, then who told you you're a Greek scholar? And you know, I never did hear that again. But it's a sad thing today that many people are placing themselves higher than they ought to place themselves and claiming to be those who are worthy of hearing. As I've announced all 3 of the lessons that I presented, this tract by Brother H. Leo Bowles, which many of you have purchased, 75 cents apiece. Brother Garland Elkins gets the money because he's the one who had it printed, but it is one of the finest exhortations and expositions on this subject that I know of. So I heartily recommend it to you. And as Brother Swain told you, I will be leaving soon after I eat the dinner. I don't want to be missing that, but at any rate, if you have a desire for any of those tracts or books, please take them as the service is over this morning. It's said in Psalms 1:1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Jehovah, and upon his law doth he meditate day and night. I appreciated our prayer a few minutes ago, who said in that prayer what was said in Psalms 119, verse 10 and 11, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And in verse 105, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my pathway. And in verse 130 of Psalms 119, he said, the opening of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So I've come over to the New Testament, and I find in 1 Peter 3:15 that Peter says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is within him, yet with meekness and with fear. We ought to be ready to give a defense of the truth. And I think we have tried to equip you with that defense, with that answer, when people want to know, why do you not use mechanical instruments of music in worship? Paul warned the brethren in Galatia that they were slipping, that they were falling away. In verse 6, he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And as I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Well, if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Jesus Christ. Many today are using instrumental music because they want to please men. They say it is that which allows the talents of our young people to be used. It is that which is pleasant to the ears. It is that which draws in large audiences. And it doesn't ever seem to appeal to them that it's that which is wrong, that it is not included in the blood seal New Testament, Matthew 26:28, The Bible thunders in our ears that we are not to add to God's Word. In Revelation 22, 18 and 19, he said, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book or of this prophecy, God shall take away from him the tree of life. And his name is out of the holy city, which are written in this book. We establish authority by three means. First of all, by direct command. Second of all, by approved example. And third of all, by necessary inference. But my friends, I say to you without fear of any successful contradiction on anybody's part, that there is no command, there is no approved example, and there is no necessary inference in the New Testament for churches of Christ to use instrumental music. Therefore, where did it come from? Well, it came from the ways of men. It came from those who wanted to do what they wanted to do instead of what God wanted to do. Have you noticed that community churches are jumping up all around us? How come them to call it community church? Well, I suppose, now I'm not sure, but I suppose it's because they want to please the community instead of pleasing God. That's a sad thing, isn't it? It's not that we don't like instrumental music. It's not that we can't afford it. The basic scriptural reason for not having instruments of music in the Lord's worship is simply that we do not have the authority of heaven. We used to make fun of those out in the country because they would say in their Bible class, what do you think about that verse? And he said, I think it means just what it said. And he said, so do I. Let's go to the next verse. But you know what? I wish we had people who believe that now. I wish we believed just what the Bible says. Because if we did, we would have ourselves out of a lot of the difficulties that we are in today. Eight scriptures in the New Testament tell us about the kind of music we're to have in worship. All of them, as we've already noticed this week, say we're to have singing. And that singing, of course, is direct command. It is that which is specified and which we are to do because that's what God said to do. And it excludes everything else but that. So I have assigned 30 reasons, and you were right, it is 30 instead of 32. I was just seeing if you were up on things. 30 reasons why we do not use instrumental music in worship. And I believe these are solid reasons. I don't believe anybody can answer them. It is that which we do not presumptuously place as others do instruments of music in our worship because of these things. Number one, Jesus never taught it. In Acts 1:1, there Luke wrote to Theophilus, and he said, the former treatises I have written unto you, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. But he never did teach instruments of music in worship unto God. Jesus never taught it. Now, my friends, that ought to wake us up, shouldn't it? If Jesus never taught it, then how come we're teaching it? If Jesus never taught it, is it a part of the Lord's will for man? I don't believe that we should put instruments of music in worship because Jesus never taught it. Second of all, the disciples never practiced nor taught it. I mean the apostles. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, he said, all authority have been given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have taught you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, if they were taught to practice that, my friends, we'd know it, wouldn't we? Because Acts 2:42 says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Jesus not only never taught it, but the disciples of Christ never practiced it, nor did they teach it. Third of all, Peter and other apostles who had the keys to the kingdom didn't authorize it. You know, in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said upon Peter's confession, the rock, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I'll give unto thee, the apostles, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth shall be bound in heaven. Loosed upon earth shall be loosed in heaven. They had the keys, my friends, of the kingdom, but they didn't authorize the use of instrumental music at all in worship. Number four, the Holy Spirit never instituted it, never instructed it. John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever things he shall hear, these shall he speak, and he will show you things which are to come. My, these men had a lot of power, didn't they? The Holy Spirit guided and directed them in all they wrote and said. Although Peter was rebuked by Paul in Galatians 2 because he had withdrawn from some Gentiles sitting there eating, he said he was to be blamed, and I confronted him to the face. But let me tell you this, Peter never made a mistake in doctrine. Peter indeed made a mistake in practice here, but he never made a mistake in doctrine. The Holy Spirit never instructed it to these men. Number five, one cannot speak as the oracles of God and teach its use in worship. 1 Peter 4:11 still says, "Yet if any man speak, let him speak as it were the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him minister as of the strength which God supplieth, that in all things God may be glorified." Uh-oh. What happens if we add something God has not mentioned or authorized? He's not glorified. If he's not glorified, my friends, we certainly don't want to be doing that. And so we can't use instrumental music. Number six, instrumental music is not in truth. John 4:24 says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Well, what is truth? Wasn't that what Pilate asked? What is truth? And Jesus answered it in John 17:17. He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Where in the word do we find the use of instruments of music? We don't find it. So because of that, instrumental music is not in truth. Number seven, it doesn't pertain unto life and godliness. If it did, it would be given in the text of the Bible. For 2 Peter 1:3 said, "Seeing that by his divine power he had granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and his own virtue." But it doesn't pertain to life and godliness, the instrument doesn't. Singing does now, because singing is commanded in the text. But instrumental music is not, so it doesn't pertain to life and godliness. And then, eighth of all, it's not a good work in God's eyes. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All scripture inspired of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Well, if we're thoroughly furnished unto all good works by the inspired scriptures, and instrumental music is not found in the inspired scriptures, then it's not a good work in the eyes of God, is it, friend? I think that's simple, don't you? Number nine. To preach its use is to teach another gospel. That's what we noticed just a moment ago in Galatians 1. Paul said there's some who are twisting the gospel, and they should be accursed in your eyes because they're preaching another gospel. Yet it's not really another gospel, but they trouble you, and they would pervert, twist, change the gospel of Christ. Number 10, by the admission of most, such teaching as instrumental music is an effort to please the ears of men. People like it. It draws a crowd. They don't mind telling you that right quick, but Galatians 1:10, Paul said, "Yet do I persuade men or God? If I yet persuaded men, I should not be a servant of Jesus Christ." You can't be a servant of the Lord unless you please him, and you can't please him unless you walk in his teaching. Number 11. It did not come by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said, "I certify you, brethren," in Galatians 1:11 and 12, "that the gospel which was preached by me was not after man, for I neither received it of man, nor was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." But the revelation of Jesus Christ did not give us anything concerning information about the instrument of music in worship unto God. Number 12, it is no part of the counsel of God. Acts 20:26, 27, 28. Paul said, "I call you to record this day that I am free from the Lord of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." Well, where is it written that we should use instrument of music? Oh, it's not there. Then that's not a part of the whole counsel of God. Is that right? Absolutely it's right, isn't it? And then again, number 13, it's not according to sound words. 2 Timothy 1:13, he said, "You hold fast the form," or the pattern, or the sound, "of sound words, healthy words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus." Hold fast. Have you ever held fast to something? Maybe if the wind was about to blow you away, you'd hold fast, wouldn't you? All right, let's hold fast to the truth. Hold fast to the words that are sound and upright. Number 14. It's not in the better covenant. Hebrews the 8th chapter, verse 6, but now he, Christ, has obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. He has a higher order, an exalted honor of the ministry which he has received. It is the highest of all ministries. And it is that which he is the mediator of, that better covenant, better will, that has better promises in it. You know, 13 times in the book of Hebrews, the term better is used to show how much better the new covenant is than the old. So, it is that which is not in the better covenant, and therefore it's not right. Number 15, it is not of faith. Romans 10:17, as we've noticed, faith comes by hearing God's word. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. But if it's not of faith, that simply means there's no testimony for us to do it, and there is none, so there can be no faith. Instrumental music is wrong. Number 16, it is not a blood seal practice. Hebrews 10, verse 28-29, he said, he that despised Moses' law died without compassion at the mouth of two or three witnesses of how much sore punishment. Suppose ye that he is thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You know, that shows extreme hatred. And when a man leaves the truth to do what he wants over what the Lord has commanded, it's not a blood seal practice, and it is condemned. Instrumental music number 17 in worship is the doctrine of men. Matthew 15:9 says, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for their doctrines the commandments of men. You may decide that you're as important as the Lord, but you're not. You may say to the Lord on his throne, well, move over a little bit, I've got some authority here. But you don't, and you shouldn't. Number 17, instrumental music in worship is a doctrine of men. Number 18, it is an addition to the worship prescribed by God's word. And as we've noticed in Revelation 22:18, he said, now I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man, that pretty well includes all, doesn't it? If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the tree of life and out of the holy city, which are written in this book. And then number 19, it is an offering of strange fire unto God. In Leviticus 10 and verse 1, you remember Nadab and Abihu. They didn't take the fire that God authorized. They took strange fire. They thought fire was fire, isn't it? No, it's not. You have to do the fire that God gave you to use. They took strange fire, fire that was not what God gave them to use. And they used it in worship. But they were killed on the spot. 1 Timothy 3:14-15, Paul said to Timothy, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. We ought to learn how to behave ourselves in the house of God. And I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about the church, the people. We ought to know how to conduct ourselves rightly in the Lord's kingdom. Number 20, to use such as the instruments of music is not to abide in the doctrine of Christ. 2 John 9:11, whosoever goeth onward or goeth beyond and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God, but he that abideth in the doctrine hath both the Father and the Son. And if any man come unto you and bring not this doctrine, do not invite him into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed. And number 21, it's will worship. We've already discussed that this morning from Colossians 2 and verse 20 through 23. Number 3, it is a substitute for God-given system of religion. Acts 2:42, they continued how? Steadfastly. That means unmovable. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Breaking of bread and prayer, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. So we know when they did that in Acts 20 and verse 7. On the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul discoursed unto them or preached unto them, intending to leave on the morrow, and he continued his speech until midnight. Listen, friend, to continue steadfastly means every Lord's day. And that's what the Lord taught these disciples to teach others. You teach them to observe what I've taught you. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Number 23, it cannot be done in the name of the Lord. Colossians 3, verse 16 and 17 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him." Number 24, preaching the use of it is not preaching the word faithfully. 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, Paul said, "I charge thee in the sight of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, you preach the word." Now, that's being slipped up on today. There's a lot of people preaching. They're just not preaching the word. But that little three-syllable sentence there really leaves us without excuse. Preach the word. Be instant, constant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, and having itching ears, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. Number 25. It should not be contended for by the faithful. In Jude 3, he said, "Brethren, when I wrote unto you, I gave all diligence to write about the common salvation, but it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered unto the saints." All the faith has been delivered. All the truth has been delivered. It was needful for him to write and exhort them to wrestle that out of the hand of hell. That's what contend means. So you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered unto the saints. Number 26, one cannot walk in the light and support its use in worship. 1 John 1, 7 says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." Well, we can't walk in the light and support the use of instrumental music because that's not a part of the light, is it? And then again in number 27, the practice of such departs from the simplicity that is in Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, 3, Paul there said, "But I fear, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve." You know, she was pure when that serpent came to her. "But he beguiled her." What did he cause? Alienation of affection? Why, sure, she was alienated from God through his subtlety or his art. You know, John 8:44 says he's a liar and the father of lies. That's the devil. So your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in the doctrine and worship that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's so simple. Many people think our worship is so simple. It can't be right. Surely we'll have to have more to draw people than this. And so they began to add. And they get theater and they get dancing and they get puppets and they get a lot of things that just aren't authorized in the scriptures. Number 27, the practice of such departs from the simplicity that is in Christ. Number 28, introduction of it causes division. That's been proved over and over and over. Jesus prayed that we all might be one, John 17, 20 and 21. And in 1 Kings 18, you know, Ahab saw Elijah. And he said, "Is it thou troubler of Israel?" Elijah said, "I'm not the troubler of Israel, but thou art, because you've brought in things that are against the will of God." And you know, when people accuse us of being the troublers of Israel because we stand for what is right, don't let that hamper you, my friend. Stand fast in the faith, act like men, be strong, and let all that you do be done in love. Number 29, its addition constitutes the sin of presumption. Presumption means to presume to do something that God has not commanded. It is said in Deuteronomy 18, verse 20, "But the prophets that shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him, or shall speak in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die." Ooh, that's pretty sharp. That reminds me of that former lesson we just heard, don't you think? Well, Ellen G. White thought she had a new revelation. Charles Taze Russell, the head of Jehovah's Witness, thought he had a new revelation. Mary Baker Eddy, she thought she had a new revelation. There have been many who think they have, but this says if a prophet speaks presumptuously in my name, in other words, if he says, "This is by the authority of the Lord," well, it's not. That prophet shall die. Psalms 19 and verse 13, he said, "Keep me back," or "keep thy servant back from presumptuous sin." Committed though we have knowledge and light, And we do it anyway. He said, let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be clear from such great transgression. The psalmist prays for his own conformity to the will of God, for his own will to do God's divine teaching and law. We ought to all pray the same, that we may always conform to that which is right. Number 30, and I'm sure you'll be glad the last one. The only safe and correct course is to refuse to use mechanical instruments of music in worship unto God. Why is that the only safe course? Why shouldn't there be many other courses that we could take that would be just as safe as refusing to use instrumental music? Well, because John 12:48 still says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." This is not in the Word of God. So when God comes to your name and you say, "Yes, we used instrumental music in worship," He says, "Now where was that in my Word that you found that?" And you say, "I'm sorry, I've never found that." You will not be in good shape, because His Word will judge you and you will be condemned. Thank you so much for your kind attention. You have listened raptly this morning. And that, of course, I know after 3 hours, that's a lot of listening. And I know you're getting hungry. But let me tell you again how much I appreciate your warmth and your kindness to me and your generosity. And if you will, please remember us in your prayers. Thank you.